Hey there, listeners. This is Sean here. I just want to give you a fair bit of warning that this week's episode contains a fair bit of foul language that's not safe for work and probably not safe for your kids, unless you want them running around with a brand new vocabulary. If you're not into that sort of thing, I completely understand. Go ahead and check back next week for our regular standard episode. Otherwise, enjoy this week's episode with our special guest, Brian Gordon, creator of Foul Language Comics.
Making Geeks is a podcast for people who are striving to find the balance between raising great kids and holding on to their creative passions that keep them sane.
And today we are joined with Mr. Josh Price.
Hello.
Mr. Mark O'Keefe.
What's going on?
Mr. Wes Wayne.
Hey.
And our special guest today, creator of Foul Language Comics, Mr. Brian Gordon.
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
How's everybody doing today?
Excellent.
Sweet.
It's my weekend. I'm happy again.
Mark's only happy when he's not working.
Not working.
That's fair.
At the real job. I love working at the other stuff.
And Wes looks nice and refreshed from his trip to Disney World.
Yeah, I'm not completely.
If not a little angrier.
Yeah, a little angry. I was on a quest to find anything Darkwing or DuckTales related down there, any merchandise, and they had nothing. So out of, like, hatred, I bought this shirt online, like, while I was still on vacation down there.
Well, we'll take a screenshot of the shirt and post it somewhere. That's a very cool shirt.
So it's a duck that has, like, a huge wardrobe of duck cartoon outfits. So he has, like, Darkwing to choose from, Uncle Scrooge, Gizmo Duck, Launchpad, a whole bunch of them. So it's kind of fun. And I figured it would be appropriate for our special guest.
Oh, thank you. I feel honored. Even though my ducks are naked, most part.
Well, so are most of Disney's applicable ducks.
Yeah, most all cartoon ducks are naked.
Yeah. Mm.
Donald runs around with no pants. I don't see how that's family friendly.
Except, what was it? I think Finland banned Donald Duck because he didn't have pants.
But he puts on a towel when he gets out of the water. It makes no sense.
Maybe it just some of the feathers. We don't know.
But ducks shed water. That before.
There's no logic in most of that.
Yeah, it's obscene when he gets out of the water. It's just you can see everything. It's horrible.
Oh, man. All right, so I love when we have guests. We try to reach a couple different, I guess, groups of people. So, Brian, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in a comic? You know, what is your, like, motivation for doing the comic? And if people haven't seen it, where can they go see it?
Sure. Motivation is food and shelter. I started – I've been cartooning for – a long time. I moved to Kansas City from the East Coast about 20 years ago. I did an internship at Hallmark, which turned into a real job, which I thought I'd be at for a couple of years. As a young kid, I figured I'd become a rich and famous artist and then move back to the coast. And 20 years later, that hasn't quite happened yet. So, and I was there for 18 years, and Hallmark, being a paper product company primarily, is shrinking rapidly, since all things social media and email and texting and everything else is taking over. So the company's getting smaller and smaller. So, I survived, God knows how many rounds of layoffs, and then in June of 2015, it was my turn to go. So about maybe 6 months prior to getting laid off, I stopped one comic I was doing called Chuck and Beans, which was a real nerd comic, which is all about just kind of pop culture and video games, stuff like that. And because I was – the characters that were I was writing about were kind of – 20-something-ish kind of pop culture-obsessed characters. And I kind of outgrew them. I was steadily getting older as they weren't. So, and I, in the interim of doing that, I had two kids, and it's just my life became very different than what that was about. That was there, you know, these young guys are on the dating scene going to bars and blah, blah, blah. And I was married and, you know, up to my earlobes and diapers and craziness. So, I was just kind of getting burned out on it, and all the stuff, you know, a lot of my work is just really autobiographical. So I wanted to do something that was more personal to me and kind of reflected where I was in the world. So I started, I'm like, I have to do something about a character who's a dad, as hackneyed as that might be, but I'm like, that's where I'm at. So I started going through my sketchbook and just like, okay, what am I going to do? At the time I had drawn, the two characters were a rabbit and a dog. And being at Hallmark, the big five animals are bears, bunnies, dogs, and cats. Is that the, yeah. Well, I guess that's four. Bears, bunnies, dogs, cats. I'm a cartoonist, not a mathematician. So those were the big four. And we'll say frogs. And cheetahs. So, and weirdly enough, worms. And so I had drawn like a billion and a half bears, dogs, cats, and dogs. Or bears, bunnies, cats, and dogs. So I was like, I need to do something else. So I'm like, and I was going through and I found this little doodle where it was a duck, and it, because I'm always trying to write ideas for cartoons at Hallmark, you're constantly, as a cartoonist for Hallmark, you know, you're always, you know, all these projects where you're writing ideas for Christmas and July or whatever your crazy schedule you're on. So I just kept a lot of sketchbooks, and one of my crazy little ideas had nothing to do. I was just, you know, doodling in it. Was I drew a little duck, and above them there was a little word balloon that said "fuck." And I wrote and captioned it "foul language," ha ha, very clever. And you know, just kind of like a random little silly, you know, something you doodle while you're on the phone or something. And I was going through, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm gonna do. So I saw that, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. And so I just randomly like, oh, maybe I'll do something about ducks, which is a real kind of offhand way to like decide a career choice. You know, it's like at the time I'm like, I don't know, I'll make like three of these. And then now I'm like 350 cartoons in or something. And I'm like, wow, ducks. So it's just like, so I get a lot of people that ask me like, why ducks? But then, you know, I throw it around, I'm like, well, I don't know, why dogs? And I'm like, they talk the same amount. And we're like, just like, you know, but so at least it's easier to tell people that, when I describe what I do, you know, there's not a lot of competition like for swearing duck cartoons out there. So if I'm like, I do a duck cartoon, if someone's seen like a duck cartoon on the internet, they're like, wait, I saw this one. I'm like, probably mine. You know, so like, oh, one of 1,000 duck cartoons that you see from day to day. So, yeah, so I did that. And then, it started out and I was making, when I left Hallmark, I was making, and you can tell me to shut up and we can move on anytime you want, but I was making almost, well, I was literally, all my revenue was coming from just like ads on my website, and I was making like ones upon ones of dollars.
I'm in that club. And
it was, yeah, where like my son, like it was funny, like it was just like he had like a little lemonade stand. And I think he cleared like $8 or something. And it was like, he just made more this month than I did. And nice. I'm like, and he's not staying up until 3 a.m. working on this goddamn lemonade stand. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, so at that point, I'm like, you know, I should just pack it up and go sit outside with a pitcher of lemonade or something. I'd make more money. But, you know, I stuck with it. And, but after Hallmark, it's funny, I got laid off June 1st, 2015 at precisely at 1 a.m. They did it through email. And yeah, which is ironic for Hallmark. like the thing that's, you know, killing Hallmark, that's like the way they killed me.
It'd be worse if they made you write your own, like,
obituary
card.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this, like, is pretty good. And then you just kind of slowly hand it right back to you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some big flowery card, like, oh, let's skip to the end. Some horrible sound chip playing a song or something. Funeral march or something like this. But
yeah, heard exactly. You got fired.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was at 1:00, and then at 3:00, I got the Huffington Post had run a couple of my, or you know, any number of my cartoons at that point, the parenting end of Huffington Post, and I had kind of a cordial relationship with the editor there, so she happened to send me an email that day at 3:00, like 2 hours after I got fired, and it was just, you know, I was checking my phone because I was getting all the condolence emails from all my friends at work and such. And then at 3:00, I got an email from Huffington Post, and they're like, hey, you have any new cartoons for me? And I wrote her back. I'm like, you can have all the cartoons because no one else wants cartoons. So she's like, oh, that sucks. I'm like, we should maybe do a thing on you or something. I'm like, yeah, you should totally do a thing on me. I could use a thing now on me. So they wrote a nice little article, and that kind of set the wheels in motion. And suddenly, like, my audience started growing and things started snowballing. And then a few months later, Upworthy did a thing on me, and that just exploded, like, far bigger than I thought and far bigger than they thought. Like, I don't think anybody had any idea. It just went super viral. And it was just 15 cartoons of mine, which, you know, and I was having conversations with people who worked there, and I'm like, I don't know why this is blowing up. And they're all like, we don't know why this is blowing up. I'm like, but apparently people are going goofy for this selection of 15 duck cartoons. So it ended up being like something like the fourth most shared thing on Facebook and all of Facebook in 2015, like random. And so that just, like, yeah, it was just nuts. And so it got me this crazy world of exposure, and all these book deals started coming in, and that was just bananas. So I got a book out of it, and now I'm working on my second one, and I'm still trying to stay afloat and pay the bills and do all that. So that's my life story in a nut. So, all right, good night.
That's an incredible ride in a very short period of time.
Yeah, it is. It's been kind of crazy going from, like, showing up and, you know, punch the clock, doing a 9-to-5 thing, to just working from home. And I mean, Hallmark's I joke about Hallmark, but I loved working at Hallmark. It was a great place, and they had, like, you know, you're working with, like, hundreds of other artists and writers and stuff. So it was just a really cool place to be. And it was a lot of, you know, it's not easy to find, you know, other like most of my cartoonist friends are, like, all over the country or in other countries. And so it's just kind of like this really spread out, and, you know, we might bump into each other at, like, a convention or something. But being at Hallmark, you're just surrounded by a lot of like-minded peoples, which was, you know, kind of cool. Like, in my old neighborhood, you know, I would talk to neighbors and be like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I'm the HR exec for Sprint, and I work, you know, like, the importer exporter bubble. And I'm like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I draw cartoons for the internet. And you just get like, you know, no, but for, like, a job, like, what do you do? Just like, no, that's what I do for a job. They're like, no, but I mean, for, like, money, like, how do you support yourself? And I'm like, no, so it's just, like, kind of curious. But being at Hallmark, you know, you had to, like, it was just a collection of a lot of weirdos, so that was kind of nice to be around that. And then to go from that to just working from home was kind of a big adjustment, and kind of, you know, for the longest while I was going stir crazy, but I finally kind of, like, embraced the whole working in pajamas, and, you know, like, okay, this is, you know, I set up my little my day now, and so I can, you know, it doesn't feel so lonely anymore. I'm like, oh, I know I do this, and, you know, set a schedule for myself, and yeah, and so it was kind of cool, in its own little weird way, and yeah, and I can pick up my kids from school at 3 and do that, and, you know, still get plenty of time with them, but it's kind of nuts. So that's where I'm at.
Now, do you have a traditional art background? Where all this kind of started?
Yeah, it's funny. I grew up when I was 6 years old. I was watching a special on TV, and they were doing an interview with Charles Schulz from Peanuts, Snoopy, and they were talking that was the mid-70s or something, when he was at his height of popularity and fame. And so they were having this interview, primetime TV show. And I distinctly remember sitting there in the living room on the floor watching this. And they're like, oh, well, Charles Schulz is a syndicated cartoonist, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, that's what I'll do. I'll be a syndicated. I'm like, that looks like a fun job. That's what I'll do. So from age six on, I was like, yeah, cartoonist, that's what I'm going to be. And, right about when people are like deciding to be astronauts or princesses or whatever, it was probably just as realistic, to be a princess or a cartoonist, there's just about as many job openings. So in hindsight, maybe princess would have been more lucrative, but, I went with cartoonist I just kind of stuck with it. And then I went up to art school, but one of the funny things about art school is that, cartoonist is to art school as, little kids are to the grown up Thanksgiving table. You're like, that's adorable. You want to draw cartoons, but we're going to treat you. You have to learn how to be an artiste kind of thing. So, so I went there and I drank the Kool-Aid and I'm like, no. And so I left, undergrad with this crazy portfolio of these huge, 3 foot paintings of people drowning in blood, just this crazy, horrible bullshit. Just kind of no, I'm expressing my soul. And then I had some weird kind of funny stuff in there. And it's and then I was shopping that portfolio around. And people are like, sir, you'd go to a client and they're like, sir, are we going to get the blood guy? Or are we going to get the funny bunny drawn? So it was just like, where are you coming here, pal? I'm like, I don't know. What do you need? I can do either. And so, I went from, I was making $0 at the time. And then, I tried to freelance for a couple of years and then I went back to school for my master's because my intention was to teach. And at that point, I'm like, since I've made no money, I'll teach a whole new generation how to follow in their footsteps and can I continue the curse? So I went back to Syracuse I started at Syracuse and I met a teacher there, this guy, Roger DeMuth, who was a humorous illustrator. And he was the first guy that I, probably at the age of whatever I was at the time, 23, 24, who was like, no, it's cool. You can draw cartoons. That's a way to make a living. And that's okay. I was like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. That's, you can put away your blood paintings. That's okay. I was like, oh, okay. So I just kind of at that point focused on just, being a humorous illustrator but I also loved writing. So a lot of people who go into humorous illustration or whatever, they just want to illustrate children's books or something. But I wanted to, I loved writing as well. I loved writing gags, since that was my thing since I was six. And originally when I first started drawing cartoons, it was all old timey dip pens, the Crow quill pens. You'd do little ink wells, whatever. That's how I used to do everything. But just the speed that you have to crank these things out. It's just now I'm 100% digital and, I haven't touched I sit down to write my ideas. I still like doing that, just pencil, paper, sketchbook, whatever. I just have an easier time jotting down my thoughts, more in a more tangible, organic form. But when it comes to drawing, it's just, I used to do it the other way, and it's sort of thing like, oh, maybe it should be a green sweater, and then fuck, start again, crumple, crumple, crumple. So it's versus if you're working in Photoshop or something, you just click, adjust. I'm like, okay, now it's green, purple, green. No, yeah, green, and you can move on, and it's just a much, much faster process. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer because every once in a while I'll get people asking like, oh, I'd like to buy an original, you know, like, and I'm like, well, those are all ones and zeros. So it's like sort of thing. Like
you downloaded the original when you watched it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, an original JPEG perhaps, you know, so.
Printed out on like a laser printer.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like, and I do sell like signed prints, you know, which people like, and that's nice. But, you know, I'm like, well, I could sell your print. They're like, no, I want an original. And I'm like, I don't, you know, like, you have the, that's as original as it's going to get. You know, I can try and render this on watercolor paper if you give me enough time, but it's like, you know, yeah, it's so anyways. Yeah. So I do come from a traditional art background, but I've kind of cast that all aside to kind of embrace more of a digital, you know, world that we live in now. So.
Just draw in pencil, scan it, and then color it later.
Yeah, you know, I dragged my feet into it where I used to just scan it and then kind of adjust it, then print it out. Then I would actually watercolor on the printout, and then I was like, okay, well now I'll just draw in ink and then scan that in, then I'll color it in Photoshop. And now it's just like that. To hell with it. I just do everything on the computer because, you know. But it took me a long while to get the line quality that I wanted because I still love the feel and the smell and the whole tactile everything about drawing like for real, like, you know, like ink on paper. But if I do three of these things a week, and you know, it just. And oftentimes I'm working, you know, like doing other freelance on top of it. And it's just kind of like that sort of deadlines is, you know, like I'll get a deadline where somebody will call up and like, we need something like in an hour and a half. And I'm like, all right. And if I had to like break, you know, like flatten out my watercolor paper and set up my, I'm like, that would just, I'd never meet the deadline. So just everything now digital is.
When you worked at Hallmark as an illustrator or whatever, did you have a writer that was assigned to you, like to feed you the jokes, or did you have to come up with those on your own, or is it a mix?
It's a mix. Most artists at Hallmark, the way it works is they have a team of writers and a team of artists, and they have a small selection of people that do both. And I was in that kind of like hybrid crowd. There's, you know, if they had, you know, at the, before they laid everybody off, they probably had like, you know, I don't know, say 30 cartoonist humorous illustrator people, and, you know, maybe another 30 writers, and, you know, maybe three or four of us did both. And it's dwindled down now to, I think they have like five artists and I don't know, like 15 writers or something. But most times the way it would work is, you know, they would, and the traditional thing is like, you would get like three cards a week you'd have to do, and they just drop off. I'm like, okay, this, it says this on the cover, this inside. We're thinking maybe a bunny or whatever. I'm like, okay, you know, like we already have enough dogs, give us a bunny. I'm like, okay. Or, you know, like, you know, like we're, you know, chocolate block with bunnies, you know, throw a cat our way. I'm like, okay, you know, so they try and like mix it up so they don't have like 43 rabbits on when you go buy a card or something. Somebody goes there like, I really want a dog. And I'm like, okay, well, where's your card? But, you know, with me, they'd have these projects where they're like, okay, it's, we're looking for Christmas. Here's some topics, you know, like we're, you know, like don't submit any more cards about Santa shitting down the chimney. We have a dozen of those. Like that's been tried and true. That's the top selling card. Thanks. But, you know, like if you have any other ideas besides Santa, you know, like shitting down a chimney or blah, 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 or peeing Merry Christmas. And, you know, like we got that. Thanks. What else do you have? And I'm like, oh, damn, that's my first tip. And so, you know, you do that, submit them, and then if they liked any of the stuff you wrote, then you might get to illustrate your joke. And so I used to like to do that. It was just more fun to illustrate something that I actually wrote than, you know, illustrating somebody else's idea. You know, and sometimes they were great ideas, and sometimes not so great ideas. But then, you know, sometimes my ideas suck, and they put those too. So I can't really throw stones for my little glass cartoonist staff. So, yeah.
So tell us about your kids. How old are your kids?
They are 5 and 8. I have a daughter who's 5. She's in kindergarten. And my son is in 3rd grade now, Max and Phoebe. And they are, you know, it's funny. They know that what I do for a living, which is good. And I get a lot of questions where people ask, like, what are you going to do when your kids realize that you're swearing about them, like, to millions of people on the internet all the time? Like, and they are aware of it. My daughter is, you know, like any 5-year-old is pretty oblivious to everything. But my son is, and he gets a kick out of it. And he, you know, he thinks he's like a Kardashian or something. Like, he'll bring that. He'll like kind of drop that to like a conversation. We're talking to somebody like, yeah, we're on the internet, and I'm like, Mama, like, just like, yeah, like, I'm a duck. I don't know if you know, but it's a... So he's pretty down with it. You know, every once in a while, you know, he actually asked for my book for Christmas, and I wouldn't give it to him. So because there's a lot of swears in it, and so I've tried to. And he's a good reader now, so you know, but he knows that. He's read enough of my stuff that he knows that there's words that daddy uses that we're not allowed to use around the house that, you know, are in the cartoons. And for the most part, you know, he hasn't object, you know, everything is true that I write about. It's all riff from the headlines. And I try not to, for the most part, it's about, you know, my frustration as a dad, just dealing with, you know, like the stuff that I write about is so universal. You know, I'm not telling tale. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, the stupid thing that only Max does. You know, it's like, no, it's like, this is just, you know, every, like, you know, it's like, oh my, like, he doesn't eat his food like you want. Like, wow, that's no other kid didn't. Like, no, every kid's shitty about eating food or whatever. So, you know, so I'm, it's very personal and it's very stuff that, it's happening to me, but you know, when it, you know, the best cartoons are ones that kind of resonate with more than just me and my immediate family. So, yeah, he's pretty cool with it for the most part. Every once in a while, you know, he'll find a print or something I've made and he'll start reading. He's like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Tell me," I'm like, "It's true. True, isn't it?" So I'm like, "Well, okay, I make fun of you so I can feed you." There's like, so deal with it. So he's pretty okay with that. And we were my one like 15 minutes of fame on my I had my book came out earlier, gosh, I think in, was it like March of 2016, or 2016, sorry. So there was, I was doing these, local TV shows and they had a thing on me in the paper and whatever. And it was like this big media push. So I was in like a 2-week span. I was all over the place in Kansas City. And so me and my kids were at Costco, just kind of doing our Costco thing. And we were in line and there was this couple in front of us and they, and the guy kind of looked back at me and kind of gave me like a weird look. And, you know, so I'm like, you know, I'm like, can you give him a weird look back? And like, just, you know, I'm like, okay, well, like, well, you want to go? So, and so just kind of like, just give me these like weird looks. And then finally the guy turned around and was like, you the duck guy? And I'm like, oh, I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, she likes you. She likes your stuff, you know. Like I assume he doesn't, but like she, like he didn't. Apparently, he doesn't care for my stuff, but his girlfriend or wife or whoever. Apparently, she liked my stuff. I'm like, oh, thank you. And so that was like the one time where like my two kids were with me, and it was like this nice and like, you know, like my son just looked like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, validation. This happens everywhere. This happens exactly. Everywhere. You know, like this TMZ is just chasing me down every time I go to buy a gallon of milk or something. Like, so that was like the first and last time I've ever been recognized in public. But it was, at least my kids were there. So my son is under the false illusion that I'm some big shot or something. So at least based on that one Costco experience of the guy giving me dirty looks in line. So, so yeah. But yeah, in my... yeah, but otherwise than that, they're just kind of normal, goofy kids. Yeah, they're just endless inspiration. The working from home, it's it can be a bit of a challenge. My it's one of those sort of things where I've had a lot of times where I'm trying to meet a deadline or I'm just trying to get a joke written for the next day, and I'll like put on headphones or something, and I'm I have a tiny little house, so my studio is in my dining room, so I'm in the middle of things constantly. So I'll be there, and my kids will be swarming around me, and they'll be like, you know, it's like, come on, there's gonna be something I can write about. There's gonna be something I can write about, and my kids will be like, Dad, I'm like, I'm trying to work, guys, just give me a minute, and like, Dad, I'm like, just trying to, I'm like, Dad, I'm like, oh, son of a, okay, what? It'll be some Minecraft related emergency or whatever it might be, and I have to go put out that fire, and then. And so that I'll just leave and I'll be like, oh, this is so frustrating. Oh, that's an idea. And I'll like run back to my, and I'll just like, there's a, you know, by the frustration that my children cause, you know, it's kind of nice that like by distracting me and pulling me away from work gives me an idea of something I can do with work. Cause that's the
problem and a solution.
Come on, kids, yeah, dance, do something funny.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know, come on guys, do something else stupid that I can write about. So,
Tape GoPros on them and you just review the video at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, God help me. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's every once in a while, like, you know, the worst case scenario for me is if like suddenly they became like well-behaved, well-adjusted human beings. I'm like, I don't like, this is, I have nothing to write about.
It's all my material.
Yeah, exactly. But lucky for me, they seem to be fighting that with every ounce of their being. So yeah, I think I got a few good years left in this comic. And, you know, then I think from what I've been told by people with older kids is that there's this like sweet spot of like pre-tween or something where they're just like sweet and innocent and not so hormonal or whatever. And then so then I don't know if I'll just have to go do children's books or something for a couple of years and then they can be teenagers and then I can like, I'm back in. Yeah, exactly. I could just... jump
get
back
the band
in
back together.
Exactly, when they hate me again or something like, and my son will have his own comic. And I'm like, this is a duck comic about my shitty dad. What do you think of that? So we're gonna have competing duck cartoons or something. But yeah, so those are my little lovely inspirations. So yeah, but it's mostly, it's about the kids, but it's, you know, for, you know, I could just fight myself and I'm like, at least this is what I tell my therapist, it's mostly about me making fun of myself and my feelings as a dad and somebody who's just like trying to figure it out and trying to like, you know, going at it. And, you know, like every once in a while I'll have you know, parents will speak somewhere and stuff and people are like, do you have any advice? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I write a duck cartoon about your kids. I don't know. Like, that's all of my stuff comes from, you know, basically not knowing what I'm doing, failing and then recording the process. You know, it's like, you know, it's just like, the easier thing to do would be to keep a journal or something. And it's basically a journal, an illustrated journal, like what I'm doing, just kind of recording all these crazy things for posterity's sake. So, and trying to make a living while I do it. So yeah, it's a weird way to make a living, but you know, I'm getting old and my back's weak and, you know, I could do this for a while longer. So at least hopefully. So
that's why I'm such a big fan of you, because you don't take it too seriously, you know, like parenting in general. I mean, everyone takes it seriously, but you can look back at it and go, that was stupid. Cause I have a friend of mine who's like, he's gotten mad at me for this, There was a bit in I don't know if you ever watched Scrubs.
Sure.
Yeah. The two characters, like, you know, I wonder what it's like going to be having a kid. Well, he says it's kind of like having a dog that slowly learns how to talk. And I made that comparison with him, and he got mad at me. And then I had a kid, absolutely, and I'm like, true. No, it's exactly like that. You have to feed them, make sure the poop's cleaned up, make sure they're not chewing on anything that they're going to choke on. And then eventually you hear words come out, and then they slowly turn into a real person.
Yeah, they get excited over the same words.
He still gets mad at me to this day when I say that, and I'm just like, dude, come on, it is.
Yeah, that is an apt comparison, and you know that is the for the longest while, yeah, they are like a dog or a cat, just like another thing that you have to like watch over, and like, you know, I remember my son, you know. One of the early frustrations is he wouldn't eat anything. It was just like the constant fight of like, just fucking eat something. Like, you have to, you will die. Come on. There's just like, you know, like he would, you know, it's the sort of thing where you think like some sort of instinctual, like, okay, we're all animals. If, you know, you think like he would just, you know, but he was just refusing all food and nothing, you know. And yet one day we found him like chewing on a, like an electrical cord, just like, I'm like, really, really? Like, you know, all the cereals, all the whatever. I'm like, no, I'm like, straight to the electrical cord. And then they're like, you are, you know, it's like, you're just, you know, like our dogs did. And so, yeah, it was just that sort of thing. And then the weirdest thing is like when, like, they start communicating, and then it does feel like, you know, like, holy shit, my dog just said daddy, you know, it's just like, like that is the weirdest thing, you know. It's like, you know, it's just like, oh, I didn't know this thing could talk. And I'm like, holy crap. So, yeah, it is just kind of a weird person. And yeah, and you can't take it to, I mean, every once in a while, you know, I don't get a lot of hate mail, but there is, occasionally people will find a cartoon and take it out of context or something. Like, it's a sort of thing where like I always make sure, like, every once in a while I'll get on like a streak where I'm like, fucking kids and like they drive me nuts, whatever. But then I'm like, no, but I love them, and here's, you know, so it's a sort of thing like, oh, they, you know, like, I try to throw in a sweet one every once in a while to let people know that, you know, that I'm like, no, I love these guys. They drive me crazy, but you know, whatever. And so every once in a while, you know, somebody'll find something and they'll just get kind of all bent out of shape. And I had, I was a subject of this blog post, this woman who had, unbeknownst, I'd never heard of this woman before, but someone else told me like, oh, get a look, you should see what this woman's writing about you. And I'm like, oh, so I went over, and she'd written this whole long, like, this, you know, pages and pages of how my cartoon was emblematic of everything that's bad and wrong about parenting nowadays and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really? I'm like, that's kind of crazy. And I'm like, so I read it and I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that one cartoon, you know, in the gist of the cartoon was, you know, where I'm lying to my kids. I told them like, oh, we can't go to McDonald's because they're not open on Thursdays or whatever. And it's like, and then the caption was something like, take advantage of it while you can. They're only this dumb for a while, you know? And so, you know, admittedly not my best joke or whatever, but it was just like, nah, you know, it's like, it was good enough for like, you know, midnight on a Tuesday where I'm like, oh, something has to go up on a Wednesday. So I'm like, so, you know, went up there, but there was just like, you know, this is child abuse. This is, you know, like whatever, like you're calling your kids stupid. And like, and anybody who treats their child, you know, like who's lying to their child, who calls them stupid, I'm like, oh geez. I'm like, I didn't call. I'm like, too, like, oh, to so you've face, never.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, like, wait, if you can't, if you're the sort of person who can't, who's never turned to a friend and just gonna, like, my kid's such a fucking asshole, you know, like, whatever, like, then I can't talk to you. That's the, Those are my people, the people that can, you know, turn to their kids like, my kid's driving me nuts and he's being a jerk and he tried to chew through a cord and what the fuck? He won't eat food, but he's, you know, eating the electronics and, you know, so it's that sort of like, if you didn't, if you're just walking around like being like a Pollyanna about everything, like, I don't know. So I went on there and I tried to, explain myself. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna, I try not to go, you know, flamethrower, whatever, on the internet, because, you know, you're always outnumbered eventually. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try and be, you know, reasonable. And so I went in, I'm like, hey guys, I'm like, you probably didn't expect to find me here, but I'm the child abusing bastard who wrote this horrible thing. And I'm like, let me explain. And, you know, so I tried to, you know, like, I'm like, I get how you guys might be offended by that, but if you look at the rest of my cartoons, you can get, see, no, this comes from a place of love and I'm just, you know, frustrated and blah, 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 blah. And so I'm like, ah, and expecting to be like, oh, well, thank you for chiming in, whatever. But it was just like, and I was like, so yeah, so there, it comes from a place of love. And they're like, you're Hitler. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Where they're like, admission of guilt.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, it got turned on where, then, and so I'm like, nah, Hitler seems like a bit much. And then, so I turn, I'm like, and so then they're like, no. And then I'm like, no, see, this is, and I try to reason it out and it just went on and on. And there was just a handful of, this woman had some super fans who are just, you know, like just fighting the good fight. And so the argument went on and on. It was literally like 2:30 in the morning. And I'm arguing with this guy who's telling me that my work is the equivalent of 1960s like segregation. And it was just like, you know, like, it was like, I'm like, what? I no, it was not, just like, yeah, I'm like, nah, that, no, not even a,
nope.
That's a, you know, I don't know if you were to go back and, you know, talk to MLK or something and be like, yeah, I know what you're going through. This is kind of like a duck comic, what you're doing here, right? The struggle you're
facing. Yeah, perfect analogy.
This is probably right there. So, yeah.
Sometimes you just got to say it out loud to realize how stupid it actually is.
Yeah. I'm like, no.
Now, see, when you said someone got mad at you, I was figuring it was the paneler who was, you know, sometimes I flip my kids off when they're not looking.
Oh, you know that one?
I figured it would have been that one.
You know, that was actually one of the earliest ones where there was a few when I was first trying to figure out like how far can I push this? And you know, like at what point, you know, like it was glorious in the beginning because no one was reading it. Like for a while, like initially I had 40 fans on Facebook and I knew all of them. And it would be funny where I would post a cartoon and I had 40 fans and I'd get like 3 likes. And I'm like, I know all of you guys. Like, really? You can't like just throw me like a toe there, you know? Be like, even the people
Thanks,
I knew
Grandma.
Are like, try harder. You know, it's like, really? Like, ooh. So it was kind of a nice period to like, okay, well, I'm just going to throw everything, you know, in the kitchen sink out there because no one's reading this thing anyway. So there's, you know, like I can't fail because, you know, there's no room to go down, you know, it's like I'm already at rock bottom. So I was like, okay, I'm flipping my kids off. I'm like, and then that actually kind of like registered a blip and like that got shared and like some of my 40 immediate friends and family like, that got 20 likes or something. I'm like, oh wow, that's something. I'm like, well, you're gonna love it when I call him an asshole. I'm like, eh. So I just started kind of pushing the boundaries and it seemed like when I the more honest I was and the more willing I was to like kind of call my kids out for being frustrating, those were the cartoons that actually started to resonate. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm onto something here. So, it was surprising. Like the ones where I think I'm gonna cause waves or, you know, like nothing. And then there's other ones where I'm like, oh, this seems like a, you know, a no brainer. And then people just get their nose all bent out of shape. And I'm like, I, you know, and every once in a while, or actually fairly regularly. I'll get people who like will write me an email, and they'll try and reason me like, really, do you have to swear? And I'm like, well, it's called foul language. You know, it's right kind of right there in the title. The pun should have given it away. They're like, yeah, but I didn't know you meant to know. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, maybe you should stop. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of other websites you could go to. I'm like, it's just like, this is kind of my thing. And so, but I, you know, usually I just kind of like, oh, I appreciate your thoughts and whatever. And
those are the same type of people who can't change the radio station and call in to complain about the content.
Ooh. Yeah, that's what, you know, that's I've made that analogy as well, where like I don't get like someone stopping and writing me an email to tell me they don't like my cartoon. That's always blown me away. Like, just to tell, I mean, if they're like offended or if they think I took a wrong take on it or something, or like, hey, you know, like you really, you know, like you're being unfair. And I get that. If somebody has a real gripe, like I'm usually a fan, but you went, you know, off the rails in this one. But I have some people that just write me like, I don't think you're funny. And I'm like, okay. I'm like that. Sorry. You know, this, you know, it strikes me as if like you're, like if I'm bebopping down the road and I'm listening to the radio and a song comes on and I don't like it, I don't pull over and be like, hold on, like, dear Nickelback.
you should go ahead and stop.
I just thought I would let you know that I did not care for that song that just came on my radio, and maybe you should, like, no.
And now I'm late for work, so thanks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, I turn, like, I find another song, or I put on my own music or whatever. I'm like, there's a million websites and a jillion cartoons. I'm like, you don't have to read my stuff if you don't want to. Like, if I'm like, I'm sorry you don't like it. You know, like, it's, you know, like, or people like, I got, like, somebody left me a bad review on Amazon, and it was like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Maybe it's because I don't have kids, but I don't, I'm like,
well,
to start.
God. you know, it's like,
derp.
That's kind of, you know, it's like somebody like, you know, like, what's with Playboy and all the naked women? I didn't know. It's like,
I'm just here for the ducks.
Yeah, I don't like naked ladies. And this Playboy has so many naked ladies. I'm like, well, read something else. You know, it's like, that's kind of the thing, you know? So, yeah, it just, so it's a crazy thing just dealing with this, the internet and the, you know, as my audience has grown, I've just kind of, had to get used to just the waves of correspondence, good, bad, and otherwise. And, you know, I just try and let it wash over me, you know, like I get a lot of it.
Nice. Ducks back, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you know, I get a lot of nice, you know, like emails as well. And that those are great and wonderful and super appreciated. But yeah, I do get a fair amount of people that just, you know, like, you should stop. And I'm like, I would, but I need food. You know, it's like, trust me, like, I have that argument myself, like, daily. Like, I'm out of ideas. I should stop, you know. And then, like, but then the internet's like, you should stop. I'm like, don't you tell me what to do. I'll draw another guy. Like, draw more just to spite you. So, yeah, it's, and, you know, it's not like I'm overlooking some lucrative, like, brain surgeon career or something, you know, like, oh, looks like I'll go back to being a, you know, rocket scientist now or something. Like, no, it's this or, you know, like ward of the state. So it's like this is, you know, I put all my eggs in the one basket, and pardon the pun, and just like, you know, this is, you know, from age 6 on, I'm like, nope, this cartoonist, like, maybe you should learn math. Nope. I'm just gonna learn how to draw sarcastic animals. That's gonna be all I do. And so, yeah, I might want to learn how to drywall or something in the near future if this cartoony thing doesn't pan out. But, you know, yeah, I'm getting kind of old to pick up a second career. So I'm just, you know, doing this cartoony thing for as long as people will read them. So,
well, from someone who's not a self-righteous blogger, like, my wife has like a huge support system of moms that she's around. So when she's around all our kids and they do something completely ridiculous that usually like I high side over because I don't understand that they're 6 and 2 and she's like, oh yeah. She's like, so-and-so's kid did this and so-and-so's kid ate a battery or whatever. And I'm like, whoa. And so I don't have that same pool of people to like throw those idiotic little anecdotes with. And so when I read your comics, I'm like, someone else's kid has a rock that they just threw at them and they want them to keep. And then I throw the rock in the trash and her kid gets super pissed just like my kid did. I'm like, it makes me feel like I'm not a failure as a human being because somewhere there's a cartoon duck who has the same plight that I do.
I'm sorry.
They're definitely cathartic.
Yes.
It really
you
is.
Get, like, you get to the end of the day and you're like, God, this is – oh, wait. All right, good. Yeah. It's not just me.
Yeah, that's the, you know, it's it really came from the way before I started doing foul language, when I was just working at Hallmark, even before I was doing the Chuck and Beans thing back in the day, it's funny in hindsight where Shoebox was like, we're going to get a blog. You know, it was just like this upstart. It was like, you know, back when like having a blog seemed like a crazy idea. And, you know, we'd be one of like the 10 other blogs on the internet at the time or something. But so it was like this early thing of like, we'll just put things on the internet and people will come. And and at the time we were just like throwing anything up there. And when I first started in, I was one of the cartoonists that was contributing to it. And it was kind of fun to be able to do cartoons that weren't about, you know, like Christmas or Easter or birthday or whatever. You could just do kind of like general, like Far Side gags. Just like didn't have to do with anything, you know, and usually with a cartoon for a card, it has to pertain to a sending situation. You know, like Happy Mother's Day. And here's a, something that has to deal with Mother's Day. Whereas, you know, I could just do anything. So, I started doing all these gag cartoons for that. And then, we had, you know, like my wife got pregnant and then we were having this baby. And then my first child was born and I stayed at home for, you know, like whatever it was 2 or 3 weeks to, you know, help, you know, deal with this little pooping, crying, whatever thing that we brought home. And it was just, hard, like way harder than I ever anticipated being. And I sucked at it and I didn't have any sleep and I was going out of my mind. And so when I finally got back to work, it was like I left and doing these cartoons at work. It was like, dogs and cats are different. And I came back and it was just like babies will fucking kill you. And it was just like, I'm like, wow, Brian took a dark turn there. I'm like, yeah, you don't know what I've been through. I'm like, I haven't slept in roughly forever. And blah. So I was just like frazzled. And I had a friend at work at the time, and he had a baby a month before we did. And he was having a gay old time. He was just like, their baby, you know, was just like, you know, you know, last night we only got 7 hours sleep and it's just the worst thing. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't get 7 hours sleep before we had a baby. And I'm like, and so they were just, so every day I would come in and we'd just be comparing notes. And, you know, it was like his 2 month old is like, you know, now that he's mastered English, we're moving on to Mandarin and whatever. And so I'm like, so it was just, you know, this kind of pissing contest going on. And I was just like, I suck at this. I should have never been a parent. I'm like, and I just got depressed. And it seemed like anybody I talked to was just kind of, you know, like I didn't have that outlet. I didn't have anybody else who was like having as shitty a time as I was having. So I started just writing cartoons about it. And through that, you know, some other people at the time, you know, like just a handful of people were like, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm like, really? There's somebody else who's like, so it was like, and then, you know, then I stopped that for a while. And then when I came back to it, and it's been just really nice, like just being able to have this kind of, you know, cathartic thing where I kind of put out there, like, parenting is hard and it's super unglamorous most of the time and it's frustrating. I mean, and, you know, I love being a dad and I love my kids more than anything in the world, but goddamn, it's hard. And it's just, And it's really frustrating, and I feel like a failure, you know, like 99% of the time, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And it's just, and so at the end of the day, instead of just, you know, drinking myself to sleep, I draw a cartoon and then I drink myself to sleep, you know, so, you know, but at least I get the cartoon out first. So, yeah, so, and it, so it's been kind of a nice little community of other like-minded parents who are just going out of their minds. So, yeah.
Well, it is really comforting.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Because, yeah, when you have your, I know when we had our first child, like we were around a lot of people who I thought they had it all together. You know, everybody puts their best face forward. I mean, nobody picks like the Christmas card with like the poop on the walls and the Cheerios ground into the carpet. Like everybody has their matching clothes and their hair is all done. And like we try to get pictures taken and just, I want to rip my eyeballs out when I have to get my pictures taken with my kids. It's like the worst experience known to man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there has to be one of those pictures in there that is presentable enough for a Christmas card. And I stop and thought, I'm like, I have 100 crappy pictures of them screaming and running around and like rubbing dirt on their fancy clothes.
Yeah.
I was like, so we are projecting the 1% of the time like to people. I was like, we are being fake as we possibly can. And everybody is doing it.
Yeah. And
so your self-righteous blogger lives in that 1% of the world. Where the 99% is dirty and gross and frustrating and got boogers on stuff.
Yeah, and exactly. And on those very same Christmas cards, you have the little humble brag bullshit on the back of like, whoa, you know, like, you know, like Johnny was, you know, like quarterback this year and we didn't think that he'd be as awesome as he was, but oh my goodness, where it was like, oh, screw you, you know, it's just like, you know, just like.
Yeah, it's like, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's nice to be honest about my kid. It's every once in a while, the weird thing is for me, at least now, is like meeting new parents. You know, like anybody. You know, I'll be, you know, I'm at school. I'm involved picking up my kids. I'm making small talk with other parents, whatever. And, you know, and you meet somebody new and like, oh, what do you do? And like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I write a cartoon and whatever. And then, you know, they'll get to people regularly like, oh, you do what? And they'll go. And then it's kind of like Facebook stalking somebody. Like if you make a new Facebook friend, you go through like, what the hell is this guy's deal? And so you kind of go through and kind of like, oh, geez, where like, I'll meet somebody and like, I do a cartoon. And so then they get to read 400 things that I've written. Like, oh, what the fuck is this guy doing with his kids? And so, you know, it's kind of like this weird experience of people, you know, suddenly having this crazy insight to my world that I've just kind of thrown out there for everyone to read. And yeah, but and if they don't want to hang out with me afterwards, it's fine. It's kind of self-selecting. It's like that saves us both trouble. Like if you don't like if you could read that and you don't want to talk to me afterwards, that's great. Then we're probably not you're probably not somebody I'd want to hang out with either. Something. So, anyways,
anything we're geeking out about this week? Special that we things worth mentioning.
Well, I thought it was worth mentioning. I looked up Lawrence, Kansas, and I am 35 miles from you right now.
No. So we're going by.
I don't know. I should have a beer this week. I'm in Kansas City for work until Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What do you do for work?
I work for a defense contractor.
Oh, okay. Very
boring, hard to explain things. I would love to tell people that I make cartoons on the internet. It's way more simple.
Well, I'm a darn. Yeah.
This is my grown-up time. I get to geek out about being an adult.
Yeah.
I have any kids. I've got pretty much, I think the size of this two-bedroom room at the Embassy Suites is about as big as our fifth wheel, and I get it all to myself, so I'm lapping luxury right now.
Oh, very nice.
Not stepping on ground-up Cheerios. Quiet.
That's why I'm thankful I have dogs. My wife made soup yesterday, so we gave it, you know, strained it out and gave it to the baby tonight. And we're watching TV, and she's behind us eating. And all of a sudden, we get up and look, and just everything is just on the floor. And I'm like, thank God for Labradors, and just open the gate, and it's all gone. Everything's clean, and it's perfect.
Yeah,
well, to reiterate, your kids are dogs thing. Because my daughter was dropping a bunch of food on the floor, and now when she gets down, she realizes there's food on the floor. It's like, ooh, and she goes and cleans up after herself.
Snatch for later.
Mine, like, mine was doing that too, except she was doing it with the dogs.
It's the pack mentality.
I was like, wait, no. You threw that on the floor because you didn't want it. Stop eating it. Stop. No, come here. Stop running away. For later.
She's going to build up her immune system.
My son, who was the big picky eater and chewing on electrical cords and stuff like that. At one point, you know, it's like, won't you eat what's on the plate? No, dump. And then, but it's like, ooh, dog bowl. And it's like, so for like a half a second, you're like, we just put Cheerios in the dog bowl. I'm like, you know, I'm like, no, that's a bad precedent. Let's not do you know, somebody's going to call the authorities on us here and that'll be a bad news. So that's bananas.
Wes, what are you geeking out about, man?
I pre-ordered the new Nintendo system, the Nintendo Switch. Cool. So I'm excited about that.
Just couldn't resist. Their launch,
I couldn't resist. Their launch library is pretty terrible, but they're showcasing like the new Zelda game. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, Zelda looks great.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to doing some traveling with it, maybe take it to some shows and Maker Faire and just keep me busy on a plane, you know, with a good system. It'd be nice.
As long as your flight isn't longer than 2 hours.
That's true. It's true. Oh, yeah. But you can recharge it on the go now, too, because it's USB. So
you'd be the best single-serving friend on a plane.
Nice. Bring out all the little controllers and have, a huddle. Yeah.
Well, if you watch the first trailer you put out, apparently you're going to be doing that on like rooftop parties and pick up basketball game. That's you with all your millennial friends will just be like, hey, what's up? Like rooftop party with a,
let's stop playing basketball and play basketball.
You in the middle of boring physical activity, play a video game.
You know, like guys do, they play a little pickup game of basketball and then they start playing, you know, like video games right there on the court, you know, as
like the NBA Jam. Yeah.
Yeah. As happens all the time, you know, like guys do. Like,
it's just a reflection of our own lives.
And on the way back from Disney, I stopped at our friend Bob Claggett's house and he gave me a lathe. So I have a lathe that I pulled back like a couple, 5 hours? So that was fun to get down in my basement by myself.
Everyone's getting lathes.
Yeah, I got lathed. But that's what I'm geeking out about. How about you, Sean?
I'm geeking out that I'm an uncle again. My brother's...
Congratulations.
Thank you. My brother's wife just gave birth. Unfortunately, though, my brother was not there because he's on a plane. He's on a plane back from Kuwait because he's in the military. So he couldn't get back in time for the birth, but he'll at least be able to spend some time at the end of the week with his first newborn child. So I'm happy for him and his family. My parents flew out, so they were able to be out there with him and offer some support.
He missed his kid being born, and he was in Kuwait. That's a double whammy.
Yep. In about a year, he'll be going to Japan. So.
That's all right, though.
I've got a pile of video games that I got for Christmas, and I haven't touched any of them. A, kids, and B, I've got a book deadline. My second book is due February 13th, and I'm killing myself to. Oh, nice. I've got a bunch of extra. One of the things we're trying to do with this next book is like a third of it is going to be stuff that's never been seen anywhere. So now I have to create, you know, a third of the book that hasn't been seen anywhere. It's like on top of everything else. So I'm like, oh God. So every like waking moment is me just trying to crank out more and more cartoons. Like my workload is like tripled. So, and every once in a while I'll look over and I'm like, oh, but I want to play the zombie game. And I'm like, no, we're just going to draw more ducks. I'm like, it's supposed to be really good though. And I'm like,
I feel your pain. I haven't picked up my video games in probably over a year at this point, and I really want to, but I'm like, try and learn things to have a new skill to make money. Waste 7 hours playing video games.
Yeah.
Damn it.
In fact, when is the foul language video game coming out?
Yeah, well, I wish that would be wonderful. I'm trying to figure out. I was just actually talking to some really nice folks today that I'm trying to potentially partner with about because the funny thing, I'll you know,
it's a cartoon.
Yeah, you know, like what else can this be? And you know, I'd love for it to like an animated cartoon seems like a no brainer. And just seeing what other things we can, you know, like push it out into, because like I've had this conversation a number of times, like at, you know, like you're at a party or something, people are like, what do you do? And blah, blah, blah. And they're like, that's crazy. How do you make money doing that? I'm like, I don't for the most part. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a, didn't really think through, but you know, like just making stuff and then giving it away, then hoping someone gives me money eventually. I'm like, that's kind of a shitty business model, but so it's let's, you know, try to, it's like, oh, I've got a car dealership and I just give the cars away. And then sometimes people give me some money or something, you know, where I'm like, oh, that seems like a dumb way to do, make a little, like, yeah, that's making stuff for the internet. So,
I could definitely see a cartoon of that working in the same vein as like somewhere between Simpsons and Family Guy, you know?
Yeah, you know, like I don't know if you're familiar with Bob's Burgers, but
I was going to say Archer, but
yeah, I mean,
like Bob's... Duckman was on Comedy Central, not to sound the duck theme, but like he was a dad, and he was in the same vein, like he had the kids with the two heads, and he was frustrated all the time. Like that was an awesome show. Like
Jason Alexander pre Seinfeld doing the voice for that. Yeah, I was a big Duckman fan. You know, I can honestly say I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do another Duckman. But I watched that back in the day. And maybe that made more of an impression on me than I thought in hindsight. But something like that would be wonderful. You know, I did have some conversations with some animation peoples, and they just had like a very different vision for what I wanted to do. So I walked away without pursuing that. You know, I mean, which is hard because I'm hungry and so are the kids. But by the same token, I'm like, I just don't want this to be, you know, just taken over and just turn into something that it's not and just destroyed before my eye. I'm like, no, that's, oh God. So if it does get turned into a cartoon, you know, I want to have, you know, hope and pray that it'll be something that I could be proud of and will, you know, have some of the integrity of what I've tried to create with it. So here's open. But yeah, video game, whatever, just, I'm all on board for whatever. I mean, I've been playing, you know, that's all my son, you know, some kids are sport kids or whatever, music or blah, blah, blah. My kid is 1,000% video games. That's all he talks about all the time. And then he, you know, like he'll be, you know, like grilling me over video game questions of like games that I played like 25 years ago. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what was on the third level. I don't remember what I did this morning. I'm like, I don't know what I play. You know, like
it's Mega Man, jump and shoot, just jump and shoot.
Yeah, exactly. So, so we, if I could, he would probably be that would be the way to make him really proud of me, is if I could do like a first person shooter with ducks or something, and that would be his hero for life. So that's all he lives for. So.
Challenge accepted.
So,
I'm looking forward to Andromeda, Mass Effect Andromeda. But I have to get the Xbox One before that happens. But
yeah, I've got just about all the current systems at the house. I've got the. You know, it's like, I don't have a lot of money, but what little money I do has gone into like buying like a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and the Wii U. So we've got the all set up and, you know, so, but it's like, oh, I've got all that. And then mostly we're just watching Netflix on it now because there's no time to actually get into like any real game. You know, like I've got, I picked up The Last of Us, which, you know, I've only heard, you know, wonderful things about the zombie survival game. And, you know, I'm like, it's just going to be a lot of hours I don't have. And
right.
It's just like, you know, like, you know, so if anything, you know, I'll be like, oh, I have time to play, you know, Mario Run on my phone on the toilet. That's about what I'm like, okay, and back to work, you know. So it's like,
because I'm an adult. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, God. So
my Xbox has been an Elmo's Potty Time player for probably the last year. It hasn't ejected from that disk drive.
Oh God. Yeah. That's it's funny. Like, you know, like it, that could be a cartoon, you know, like what you'd like, oh, you buy the thing with the intentions. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna be playing with all my friends online, whatever. I'm like, nah, it's just Sesame Street, Netflix, whatever. I'm like, what? You know, so
it's funny now that they've gotten so used to it that like the Xbox 360 had the on button where like you can graze it with your hand and it just like had it beeping, it has that little noise. Yeah. And I accidentally did that. My son's like, I don't want to watch Elmo. I'm like, man, that's bad when that just auditory like association is picked up. Not like, oh man, I can go play some video games. Is that is the Elmo sound apparently now.
Oh geez. That's hilarious. Yeah, I was just bemoaning to somebody where, like, you know, I'm on, like, tech support for my dad, and I joke about, you know, and he's in his 80s, and, you know, God help him, he's got an iPad, and that he's trying to figure out constantly, and I'm, you know, like, the home button, the one button, just hit that, you know, like, I'm trying to, like, help him on the phone get that going, whereas my, like, meanwhile, my 8-year-old, like, there's, like, we'll be in a, you know, like, whatever game menu thing, like, playing a game together. And I'm like, I'm just trying to do the – and he's like, just give me that. And he's like, there. And I'm like, oh, now I'm old. I'm like, oh. He's just like, got me here, old man. He's just going to go into the submenu and the A, B, and the next. And the bing, there you go. You have your new funny hat and your gun and your – I'm like, oh, thank you. Which button shoots again? And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I'll sit – like, wow, like, really, already, I'm just, like, just, you know, like, I've been replaced by the next generation, like, you know, like, I didn't see it coming quite so soon, but, yeah, now I'm the guy going, like, how do you turn on the thing, you know, so,
my, oh, dad's in the corner jumping again.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's a sad state of affair, getting old, so, anywho.
All right, so, if you'd like to find out more about the podcast, go ahead and visit makinggeeks.com. Go to the contact page. You could shoot us a question. Send us a suggestion for the show, anything you like. We take a look at all those emails, and a lot of the suggestions end up making it in the show.
And if you want to find us on the social networks, we are at Making Geeks Podcast on Instagram and at Making Geeks on Twitter and Facebook.
We want to thank our patrons for supporting our show. If you'd like to toss a dollar in the hat to help us out with some upgrades, we've added a couple new Patreon reward levels over at patreon.com/makinggeeks. So check them out. You might find something you like.
Yeah, and you can find all our own individual content all over the interweb at geeksmithing.com, geekbuilders.net, Asylum Designs on Twitter and Instagram and Thingiverse. And you can check out my work at thepiworkshop.com. And Brian, why don't you tell everybody where they can find all your stuff?
Well, my webpage is foullanguagecomics.com. You can also find my stuff on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, most of your bigger social networks. And yeah, whichever way you like to follow stuff, chances are you'll probably find my stuff over there. So, or swing by the site. And, yeah.
Buy his book.
Yeah, yes. Or buy a book or a print. Or I also have a Patreon page that I would love a dollar or two. That would be great. Because I need those lights to stay on to make these comics. So... That would be great. Thank you so much.
Your digital inkwell is running dry, right?
Yeah, absolutely. God, yeah, it's hard to draw when you're hungry. So
the shakes are unbearable.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, well, come on into town, and I'll buy you dinner tomorrow.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Well, sweet, Brian, we'd like to totally thank you for hanging out with us, man. This was an awesome time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was nice meeting you, man.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to hang out with you guys for an hour or so here.
I know we're all super big fans of your work, so it's awesome to put a face to your work.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Except for you people who can't see him. Should get on over to Patreon.
Put a voice to his work.
And you can see what he looks like.
Yeah, there you go.
I tied it all together, Wes.
Oh.
Yep. The video version of this will be on there. Just for $1.
Mm-hmm. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'd like to thank everybody for hanging out with us. This episode and all episodes should be out every Saturday. So go on to your favorite podcast medium, iTunes, Google Play. I don't know what else. What else?
Any RSS player that'll play an XML file?
Yeah, go on the website. It's easy. It's just to go on the website. You can play it straight from there. It's super simple.
Straight from the homepage.
Yeah, so go tell your grandmas, go on the website, type it in for them, make a listen. Hope everybody has a great week.
Yeah.
Take care.
Good night, folks.
Thanks, guys.
Good night, everybody. Good night.